I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to share with you some thoughts about Acts 2. Do you have a bucket list? Is there an adventure you want to have before you die? An experience that you have been longing to have ever since you were a child? Riding in a fighter jet? Climbing Machu Picchu? Writing a book? Getting a master's degree or a doctorate? Or how about this, learning Italian and living in a villa in Tuscany for a year? Yeah. We promise ourselves that one day we will do what we have been dreaming to do. But the vicissitudes and circumstances of our lives often prohibit us from fulfilling our own promises to ourselves for the adventure or experience we long to have. We end up wishing someone would make it possible for us to cross off what is on the top of our bucket list. We wait for providence and timing to drop the gift of our heart's desire on our laps before we don't have any energy left in us to receive the gift and enjoy it. If writing a bucket list is not your thing, then maybe think in smaller terms. What gift would you really like to receive before you die? The gift of seeing your sister who you haven't seen for decades? The gift of a grandchild? The gift of a new set of furniture or a new wardrobe? Or how about an Airstream camper with an EV truck to haul it? Yes! How about one of the trendy gift ideas for 2026? Like an AI-generated photo book that auto-curates your best moments from your social feed. Or voice-activated jewelry charms that record custom love messages. Well, our culture harasses us with advertisements for gift giving, whether it is for ourselves or for others. We are driven to mark every birthday and anniversary and holiday by sending and receiving gifts. It never ends. Month by month, there is something to buy a gift for. And where do most of these gifts go, if not in the back of the drawer or the cupboard? Many, if not most, of these gifts have no lasting value, no intrinsic spiritual life in them. A diamond ring can only bring joy for a little while. An expedition in the Grand Canyon will be momentous while experiencing it, but the photos trying to capture it and hold on to it, they will all fade away. Gifting her people with the Holy Spirit has been on God's bucket list for a very long time. The gift of the Spirit will mean the world to the world one day. Ever since God called out Abraham and Sarah and blessed them to be a blessing to the world, God has told each successive generation to anticipate the fulfillment of his promise to send a Messiah to save them and release the gift of the Holy Spirit on everyone. All the apostles have been aware of this, and never more so than after recent events. Not only has the long-awaited Messiah come, but he, the Lord of heaven and earth, just gave the ancient gift of the Holy Spirit to all of them. This happened in Jerusalem on the holiday of Pentecost, just before our reading today. Peter astutely tells his dumbfounded fellow Jews in Jerusalem that the prophet Joel's words have come to pass, which said, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter and the apostles are terribly excited to let everyone know this, and it seems nearly everyone within earshot thought it was the best news ever as well. God's promise has come true. This is the moment for a clean slate with God, the moment the Spirit in them would empower them to be holy and faithful to God's ways. God had not forgot to do this. God was committed to give all this to his holy chosen people. This highly valued gift of deep intrinsic spiritual value was everything they had been dreaming and hoping for, at least for some of them. There were some listening to Peter's spirit-filled message and thought it was just gibberish. They were drunk, right? And all the ruckus of interested and disinterested folk gathered by the thousands around the house where the apostles were, a shout goes out from Peter. He raises his voice to be heard, to tell them what the coming of the promised Holy Spirit confirms about Jesus, that he is the Messiah come to save and forgive sins, and that he is the Lord who has risen from the dead. He is pumped. The 12 of the disciples trusted Jesus' words, you see. They trusted him and when he said to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit to come, they did it. And she came. All the events of the last couple years with Jesus of Nazareth have come together and brought about the greatest gift ever imaginable. Rabbi Peter, we could say, is now able to bring the scriptures to life, just as Jesus did for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. But Peter, he's taking on over 3,000 people, consisting of devout Jews living in Jerusalem from all over the known world, where they have been scattered, as well as the permanent residents of the city. He started with Joel's prophecy, as I read, and then moved to two psalms to help them connect the dots and see Jesus for who he really is. He saw Psalm 16, speaking of Jesus and all who believe in him, when it said, "For you will not leave my soul among the dead, or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." He tells them that they witnessed God raising Jesus from the dead to be this very Holy One of David's psalm. Now, Peter goes on to say, he sits on the throne of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. Just as David said in Psalm 110, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." You see, at the time, everyone believed David authored the Psalms, that David was God's anointed, and that God promised an eternal dynasty to David through his descendants. And furthermore, that the things spoken of him also would speak of his descendant, the Messiah. Peter and the apostles testify to their stunned fellow Jews that Jesus is this very one, descendant of David, the Christ. Thousands of fellow Jews listening to Peter are cut to the heart, deeply convicted by the truth of what Peter is saying, deeply troubled by the revelation of the possibility of not being able to receive this long-awaited for Messiah and Lord and the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So 3,000 people respond with, "What must we do?" They fully understood that the greatest gift they had on their ancestral bucket list has just been given, and they want to turn to repent that they might receive it. Luke is overjoyed to write this account for us, for his people, for the Jewish people, and for the world to hear and to be cut to the heart. He authored the Gospel of Luke and then kept on writing, giving us the book of the Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 24 of his Gospel, Luke tells the story of Jesus and how he appears after his resurrection to tell his apostles, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Peter got that point. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. The message is there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things," Jesus said to the apostles. These were the last words Jesus spoke before ascending to sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Peter and the apostles saw it all and knew the incredible gift this meant for everyone. But here's the thing. Does anyone see the gift of forgiveness of sins packaged up with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a gift they want to receive today before they die? Anyone you know think God is something to give them that they would truly want, that they perhaps have had on their bucket list? Communicating the message that Peter and the apostles were passing on to the Judeans in Jerusalem is a hard sell for us these days. We don't have such a captivated audience recently experiencing some monumental spiritual moment anticipated in Scripture and the story of the people for generations. But we can pray for the Spirit to come and awaken people to what she has to offer. We can pray for the Spirit to come and precede anything that we would say or do. Because when the Spirit comes, people's hearts and minds are open to hear, desperate, longing to hear. Years ago, when I was in Moose Jaw and I was serving at the Church of St. Aidan, I was having a day off, and there's those mineral hot springs there. So I was having a good sit in the waters, and I guess I wasn't fully relaxing because I was praying, thinking about people all around, people in that neighborhood, people in the parish. And I just said, God, I don't know what it takes to get people to be interested or to want to come, to gather. So I just prayed, Holy Spirit, come, come, awaken people. Awaken people to know the longing of their heart is to know you. And the next Sunday, which was like 2 days away, a young couple came into the church. And somehow I just knew that young couple came because of this prayer. The Spirit of God was on them, bringing them to the community for the forgiveness of their sins, for the love of the community, and for the prayers to be answered. Recently married after both being divorced, they were longing to have a child of their own, and it wasn't happening. So they came. The Spirit of God brought them to us. And though this isn't always what the Spirit of God does when we pray, the Spirit did answer their prayer, and they did conceive of a child, have a child later on. And all because I'm pumped about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit can do to bring us into community, to bring us to the deepest spiritual things that we long for. And so I pray and invite you to pray. I'm excited to see from Peter and the apostles' experience that the Holy Spirit's coming precedes all the works of God we need and long for in these days. You and I don't need to put up a revival tent, but we can pray, wait, and respond to the gift of the Spirit, awakening people in our place. Baptizing 300 or 3,000 people would be a bit overwhelming, but I'm up for a few more at least. We are caught up in the secular consumerism of our age as much as anyone. People keep driving past our house of worship unaware that spiritual things of lasting value are handed out as presents here when we gather to anyone who presents themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to make them aware that there are spiritual presents handed out every time we gather. Those gifts are none other than the love that covers a multitude of sins and life that is everlasting. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us with the knowledge of the greatest gift that all people long for, and let it spill out of us with joy. Christ is alive, making us alive now and forever, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia.